Okay, our next case this morning is number 162380, Chemtol, Inc. v. United States. Okay, Mr. Nicely.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court, I'm Matt Nicely with Hughes, Hubbard & Reed, appearing on behalf of Chemtol, Incorporated. This appeal concerns the proper HTS-US classification of a chemical compound referred to in short as ATBS. We have two arguments we want to put before you today. First, the lower court committed legal error when it misinterpreted the term amide in the HTS-US and adopted an overly restrictive and internally consistent reading of the relevant explanatory note so as to prohibit the presence of heteroatoms in the R2 and R3 positions of the compound. Second, having concluded that ATBS is a derivative of an amide instead of an amide in its own right, the court also erred by failing to apply Chapter 29's Subheading Note 1 at the 10-digit level. With regard to our first argument, first, both the CBP and the lower court have adopted a definition of amide that is inconsistent with the common scientific and commercial meaning of the term, as well as the interpretive text.
Put aside these other patents that you rely on. Mm-hmm. Is there any dictionary which uses the definition that you're urging? There are dictionaries, you'd have to concede, that support the government's position, right?
There are dictionaries that use language that is that would appear to suggest a limitation, but those tend to be the more simplistic text that are used, for instance, to teach introductory chemistry.
Well, what's the more complex and sophisticated text that supports you? Not Hart's short course.
I'm sorry?
Not Hart's short course. That's not the more sophisticated text, right?
The text that we refer to and that shows, that demonstrates the position that we take is Wade better than anything else.
It struck me that Wade is actually not helpful to you. The only thing that you cite Wade for, I think, is the penicillin connection. But there, if I understand what Wade is saying, he's saying that penicillin has a B-lactam ring,
right,
and that B-lactam is itself an amide. But that doesn't mean that penicillin is an amide. It merely means it contains a ring that is an amide. That doesn't make the penicillin itself an amide. So far as I can see. If you move on from, go ahead, you can respond
to that. Right, I think that's critically important because in Wade, and this is at appendix pages 1633 through 1633 and 34 to 1659, to 1661, it talks about how, in fact, penicillin is an amide because lactams are amides. Right.
Where does it say penicillin is an amide?
Well,
you didn't cite anything in your brief to that effect, and the government challenged your assertion about the beta-lactam / penicillin argument, and you didn't say anything about that in your reply brief, as I recall.
It's my understanding that. Penicillin is not, it's not that it merely has a lactam ring, that it is a lactam, and that lactams are in turn amides, and therefore...
You say that's your understanding. Where in the record do we find anything to support that proposition?
So on page 1661 of Wade, it refers to B-lactam antibiotics, right? And this is in the section I don't have the entirety of it here, but V-lactams are unusually reactive amides, right? And so if it's a V-lactam, then it is an amide. That's
V-lactam, mm-hmm. Everybody seems to agree, is itself, the V-lactam is itself an amide. Mm-hmm. But on the immediately preceding page, what Wade says is the V-lactam ring is found in three important classes of antibiotics, the implication being it is part of the overall molecule, right? That doesn't make the molecule an amide. I don't see anything, any support for the proposition that penicillin is an amide.
That is our understanding and our expert's understanding that in fact penicillin does not merely only have the lactam ring, but that it is in fact the lactam itself.
But even on your own theory, this is not a clear definition of an amide that supports you, unlike the dictionary definitions that the government relies on. I mean, it's all frankly a little bit convoluted in the way of an argument.
Well, in all due respect, Your Honor, we point your attention to the fact that the lower court relied upon the EN for 2924. And the EN for 2924, if read in its entirety, demonstrates that in fact the court went too far. The court restricted the definition of an amide too far.
Let me ask you a question about the EN just right at the outset, because both parties pass by the structural definition, if you will, of the amides that's found in the explanatory notes.
Right.
/ CONH2 being a primary amide, mm-hmm. / CO2 twice NH being the secondary, and CO3N being the tertiary. Mm-hmm. You don't agree, do you, that those are appropriate structural definitions of those three amides, or at least the latter two?
Well, no, the way we... That's
a mistake, isn't it, to cut to the chase?
What I think is...
Is it right or wrong?
With regard to secondary and tertiary...
Yes. It's wrong.
Frankly, whether it's wrong or whether it's right, it's not relevant to our particular case.
I know that. I knew that was going to be your answer, but I would like you first, before telling me it's not relevant, to tell me whether you think it's right or wrong.
It's an
easy answer. It's wrong.
It's wrong, isn't it? This particularly doesn't look correct. That's right.
Okay.
But I think the primary amide looks correct.
Amide looks,
and it's consistent with the box that we talk about as having the amide functional group, right?
All right.
So in any event, but the critical point though here is what follows those diagrams in the EN, and what the court focused on was the next sentence.
What page of the record is the EN at?
We included it as an annex to our brief, so it's the first annex. It's the
appendix 64.
So the other point that we want to make, and the critical point, focusing on the relevance of the EN here, is...
Does the EN help your argument or hurt your argument?
It helps us significantly, Your Honor.
Okay.
And this is your point here, I guess, is focused on the cyclic amides, right?
Well, in effect, yes. But if I could walk us through exactly
how
we get there.
That's where you end up, right?
Yes.
Is the collection of compounds that are listed under cyclic amides, as you think, inconsistent with what the CIT defined amides to be.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And we get there by first starting with the discussions that the next sentence, which talks about some amides of this heading, also contain a diazotizable amine group. We showed in Figure 7 in our brief an example of an amide that has that diazotizable amine group. A diazotizable amine group, by definition, has a nitrogen in it. And in the one compound that we showed you at Figure 7, it has nitrogen in the R2 position with the diazotizable amine group. That's also cyclic. Then the EN goes on to list exemplars of amides that meet the definition as set forth in the EN. And amongst those, as we set forth in figures 10 and 11 of our brief, among those are cyclic amides that clearly do have something other than hydrogen or carbon in R2 or R3. And if that is possible, as we have shown in our brief, that it is possible to have a heteroatom, a nitrogen, an oxygen, or a sulfur, in one of those positions, then by definition, the restrictive definition of an amide that the court adopted is too restrictive. And I'll point out also that the EN does use the language only may as opposed to must.
You know, I was troubled by your argument on the may sentence. It says the hydrogen of the NH2 or NH groups may be substituted by alkyl or aryl radicals, in which case the products are unsubstituted amides. May in that context seems to me to say that is what you can do and you can't do anything else. For example, suppose I walk into a Chinese restaurant and the menu says you may substitute for egg rolls, spring rolls, or dumplings. It doesn't mean you may substitute spring rolls or dumplings, but you may also substitute a bottle of French wine. In this context, isn't this the same as that?
It isn't. And the reason it's not is because you hit on the key point. It has to be read in context. And
well,
here,
you're going to go back to the acyclic or the cyclic amides, but that sentence by itself seems to me to cut against you, does it not?
I disagree, because I think if you talk about
it out of context, would you agree that it cuts against you?
I don't know that you ever can read a single sentence of any document without and reach a legal conclusion without reading it truly in context, which by definition means reading it with the other sentences that surround it.
But
and in this instance,
if they had simply stopped at that point, I know they didn't, but if they had, wouldn't you lose on that sentence alone?
I'm not so sure of that. That's not what we're dealing with, but I'm not so sure of that because they use the word may.
But doesn't the word may put you in the Chinese restaurant problem?
I'm not convinced, given...
You think you could get wine substituted for your egg rolls?
If that menu said what this says, which in the next line, you could also get French wine, you could also get French fries, then the answer would be, then may it certainly doesn't mean may.
You're going back to the context.
What's that?
You're running back to the context.
I am. I am because I think it's critical. Because we've shown several examples of amides that don't fit with the government's and the court's definition. And if they don't fit with their definition, then the definition is too restrictive. And the definition that we've adopted, that we've indicated is true for this product, which is that you have the possibility of something other than a hydrogen or carbon in the R2 or R3 position, means that ATBS, in this particular instance, ATBS is in fact an amine. So that's the critical point of our argument about why this is in fact an amine. We have not addressed in significant detail in this brief whether it should be treated as a derivative, because our view is that it is an amide in its own right. The only thing we've done in the second part of our brief, just to take what little time I have left to talk about it, is that if the court deems that this is in fact an amide, and the question is, where does it go still? If it's deemed a derivative of acrylamide, for instance, which we completely disagree with, because you can't create this product from acrylamide. Acrylamide and ATBS are both created from acrylonitrile. But the fact is, if as an alternative argument, all that we're left with is where do you put it if indeed you take at their word that it is a derivative of acrylamide, then the question is, do you put it in the other category, or do you put it in the other category of within at the 10-digit level? And so our argument about the 10-digit level is what I want to turn to now. We've explained that the way that subheading note 1 works is such that the series that is discussed, the series that is relevant, is the series within which the product, the parent product, appears. And that product is in the 10th digit series at 29, 24, 19, 11, 10 is where acrylamide is. Reading subheading note 1, where you would end up in terms of choosing what the correct subheading is for the derivative of acrylamide, is in 50, where we had proposed to put it in the first place. So the critical point here is subheading note 1, which is in fact, you know, statutory, calls upon the court to, and calls upon the CBP to place this product in the same product, in the same subheading that we had proposed in the first place, which is where it belongs as an amide.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Nice. We'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal. Mr. Lovegraben?
Good morning. May it please the court. Although this general...
Would you address their argument about the explanatory note, not the May issue, but their contention that the rest of the explanatory note is inconsistent with the way the CIT construed this?
There is no inconsistency between the explanatory note and the way the CIT quoted the explanatory note. The provision that says the hydrogen... attached to the nitrogen may be substituted by alkyl or alkyl radicals, in which case the products are N-substituted amides. They can be substituted by other compounds. In ATBS, they are substituted by a different compound. It's just not an N-substituted amide. It's a derivative of an amide. And so,
what do you say to the argument that the explanatory note's reference to cyclic amides includes compounds that do not seem to fit within the definition of an amide given by the Court of International Trade and supported by you?
Well, to be clear...
am I right that some of those compounds are not amides as defined, as you define them?
First, as an initial matter, we're talking about an 8-digit statutory subheading. So it's an important
distinction. If you would please answer the question. Are some of them not within the definition of amide?
Some of them do attach compounds that are other than alkyl or aryl radicals.
Which sounds like it's inconsistent with your definition. Is it not?
It is not inconsistent with our definition because we are not defining the entire heading 2924. This term amides is an 8-digit subheading under acyclic amides. So the cyclic amides that are referenced in the explanatory notes do not illuminate the distinction between an amide and an other, which are the two competing 8-digit subheadings that the trial court construed. So in certain contexts, you know, can amides be referred to, to encompass a universe where products attach compounds other than aryl or alkyl radicals to the amide functional group? Yes, sometimes that distinction is irrelevant, but it's not irrelevant here. And it's not irrelevant because Congress identified that distinction.
Explain to us the distinction and how that relates to the fact that cyclic amides and amides are in different subheadings.
Sure. May I direct your attention to page 2 of our brief, which is the excerpt of the tariff schedule. And the tariff schedule, because this is really what this case is about. It's a classification case. And so...
And in terms of authority, which has greater authority, the EN or the actual plain language or the HTS?
The HTS US is statutory, it's binding. The explanatory notes provide interpretive guidance. So what the statute provides is under heading 2924, carboxyamide function compounds, amide function compounds of carbonic acid. Okay, the signature functional group that appears in every single compound, heading 2924, is the amide functional group, which is reflected on page 5. Then under that main heading, there are two categories. There's a category for acyclic amides, including acyclic carbamates and their derivatives, salts thereof. Okay. And that's where everyone agrees that ATBS should, the ATBS falls. Then there are three other choices. Two of the statutory six-digit subheadings refer to specific compounds, and then there's other. So that that other refers to all other acyclic amides, including acyclic carbamates and their derivatives, salts thereof.
So if I understand correctly, these subheadings 10, 20, and 30, these are all carbon and hydrogen in the R position. Is that correct?
In which ones?
10, 20, and 30.
So in the statistical suffixes?
Yes.
Okay, in the statistical suffixes, which are not law, which are not part of the statute, those do all attach alkyl or aryl radicals to the nitrogen. Yes.
Right.
So we have a distinction between amides and their derivatives. And that's, so Congress recognized a distinction. And then subheading note one counsels us that when there is a residual subheading, then derivatives of that particular compound must be classified in the other subheading. That's the analysis that the trial court engaged in, and that's the correct analysis.
Let me go back to your original response to my question about the explanatory note on cyclic amides. Are you saying, in effect, that the term amides, as it is used in 29.24.19.11, has a different definition from the term amides as used, for example, in 29.24.21, when there's a reference to cyclic amides?
Sorry, would you help me your question?
The term amides that we're concerned with in this case is the one at 29.24.19.11, right?
Yes.
All right. Now, if I understood your response to me, you were saying, well, with respect to that term, the definition that the CIT employed is correct. But I thought I heard you say that with respect to the term amide as it is used in 29.24.21, which deals with cyclic amides, a different definition of the term amide would be applicable. Is that right?
No, that's not necessarily what we're saying. The difference between 29.24.19, which refers to the acyclic amides, has an eight-digit subheadings, amides, and other. There's no comparable, analogous eight-digit subheading that has amides and other under the cyclic category from which we can draw some sort of analogy. So what we do is we go back to the explanatory notes. Also to follow up with your question about the explanatory notes, there's one important point that that we haven't mentioned so far. On Appendix 1254, there's a specific reference to halogenated, sulfonated, nitrated, and nitrosated derivatives and combinations thereof. And it specifically recognizes a scenario where one or more hydrogen atoms in a parent compound are replaced with a sulfyl group, which is SO3H. And in those contexts, that compound is a sulfonated derivative. And that's what we have here. We have a hydrogen that's been replaced by a sulfyl group. And the explanatory notes counsel that type of compound is a sulfonated derivative. So what we have is a sulfonated derivative of an acyclic amide.
But where I think you were going in response to my question earlier was to say, if I understand where you were going,
okay,
is to say that cyclic amides, which doesn't have an other attached to it, includes the derivatives. Is that right?
It's cyclic amides and their derivatives. That's what the statutory, what the statute says.
Okay, but
so
then
it includes then, both.
All right, but the amides themselves, in that the problem with saying that, well, the amides include their derivatives is it says and their derivatives. So the amides must not include amide derivatives, right? The term amides can't include the derivatives if you then follow it by saying and their derivatives.
In this statute,
isn't that right?
There's a distinction. So under certain circumstances, there might not be a relevant distinction between an amide and an amide derivative because they both contain the amide functional group. Okay, the issue is everything.
Can you understand why I'm having trouble with your answer? What I'm trying to get to is, are you saying that the term amide in the reference to the cyclic amides is broader than the term amide that's used in 29241911? Because that was what I understood you to be saying as the explanation for why the explanatory note has cyclic amides that include what, under your definition, would be derivatives.
If I understand your question correctly, it would be fair to say that 29241 does include compounds that attach other than alkyl or aryl radicals at R2 and R3.
And in fact, that you're saying more than that, I think you're saying that the term amide in that section includes those compounds that include things other than alkyl and aryl to the R2 and R3, correct?
That's not necessarily correct, because that distinction between cyclic amides and their derivatives are still there. And all of the exemplar compounds that Chemtal cited are specifically provided for by name. So Congress made that determination about those particular compounds and how they should be classified. We don't have the benefit of that with respect to 29, 24, 1911, and 1980, which are the only two statutory subheadings that are at issue in this case. The court didn't make a declaration about what the term amides means if you describe everything in heading 2924. He only described this very specific statutory subheading. And you shouldn't be, the court shouldn't construe that so it would subsume the entire heading. If you say that anything and make no distinction between amides and their derivatives, then potentially anything would fall within 29, 24, 1911, but there's another category, so there's a distinction with a difference.
Would you agree that the structural descriptions in the explanatory notes of secondary amides and tertiary amides are just flat wrong?
No, that's absolutely correct. There's nothing wrong about
you think
that.
It's CO, what's CO twice NH and CO thrice N are accurate descriptions of secondary amides and tertiary amides? I'm reading from the middle of, this is Appendix 1264. It's the place where the explanatory note says, amides are compounds which contain the following characteristic groups.
Yes.
They have primary, secondary, and tertiary.
Yes. I'm sorry, what part of that have you identified as incorrect?
Or secondary amide as being CO twice NH and tertiary amide as being CO three times N.
Perhaps I'm not as familiar with the how that would appear in a structural diagram where I could say...
Well, I don't know where you get correct. Three COs in a tertiary amide. A tertiary amide is something in which the H has been substituted for by an alkyl group,
That's
right?
correct. It's the
it's
I
wrong,
see what you mean.
Right?
That the Well, let me... Before I concede anything, I'd want to confer with my agency counsel about the science. But I think the point is that when you have an amide functional group, you have the R1, which is attached to the carbon, and then you have R2 and R3, which are attached to the nitrogen. And I
that
think
doesn't look very much like this.
I understand what you're saying. I do understand that. But I think the text is the important point. And even if what you said was true, it doesn't help Chemtel. And it doesn't mean it's substituted hydrocarbons.
But it does sort of undermine some confidence in the explanatory note.
I can understand that. I think that the second portion where it says the hydrogen groups may be substituted by alkyl or aryl radicals, in which case the products are N-substituted amides, that is true. And they can be substituted by other groups also. They're just not N-substituted amides. They're derivatives of amides. And they would fall within the other category.
Well, I also identified that area you're talking about. Or I should say my clerk did identify that error. Maybe you should just report that back to CVP. They need to change that to and correct that error. But the rest of the text, is that incorrect?
The rest of the text is accurate.
Okay, anything further?
Just take a moment.
No, you have a minute left.
Just a final issue. There's an allegation that we've attacked their textbooks and their sources. The truth is we've relied on the textbooks that Chemtel cites, and they uniformly reflect the definition of amide that we...
Is there any textbook or dictionary citations that support their definition of the amide?
That support the United States?
That supports Chemtel's.
No, and if there were, it would be front and center of their brief and reply brief.
The discussion that I had with opposing counsel, your opposing counsel, about the lactam ring and the penicillin, I understood it was your position that the lactam ring is in fact an amide, but it does not mean that that does not make penicillin an amide. Is that your position?
Well, a lactam ring contains an amide functional group, and what's actually noteworthy about lactams is that they're provided for, not only is penicillin provided for under a separate heading, lactams are provided for under 2933 of the tariff schedule. The textbooks provide guidance, but it's really the tariff schedule that's controlled.
But your basic submission is that penicillin is not an amide.
Our submission is that it contains an amide functional group.
Are you saying penicillin is an amide or not? You're saying it's not, right?
Our argument is not necessarily whether something is or isn't an amide. It's whether or not something falls within the 8-digit statutory subheading for amides, or whether it falls within its statutory subheadings for other because it's a derivative. So in certain contexts in the laboratory, yes, maybe somebody could call it an amide. But for the purpose of classification, you wouldn't classify penicillin in 29, 24, and 1911. It contains an amide functional group. That's undisputed.
Let me ask just one more question, if I may, about the 10-digit issue. If I understand your argument, it is that the way you deal with, and correct me if this is a misunderstanding, but my understanding was the way you deal with the 10-digit argument is that you start at 2924 and you're dealing with acyclic amides and their derivatives. Then you go down to, you find that it's not, ATBS is not, meprobamate fluoroacetamide, and therefore it must be other. Within the category of other, you have amides and other. It is not an amide as you define it because it has something other than an aryl group in the R2 and R3, and therefore your choice is other, and that's why you put it in other. So you never get to the acrylamide, which is 2 digits farther down in the chain, so that you never have occasion to get to the other that's attached to the 10 digits. Is that essentially your argument?
That is our argument.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Wolfgramer.
Thank you.
Mr. Nicely, got 2 minutes here.
Thank you, Your Honor. The government has no answer for our argument and our point that the cyclic amide examples in the EN 2924 disprove the court and the government's position as to the definition of an amide. Effectively, they've admitted that there are examples of amides out there that are cyclic that don't meet the definition. It's critical that we point out in this context that if you look at the EN and look at the court's what the court used to define what is an amide. They focus on the sentence that says the hydrogen of the NH2 or NH groups may be substituted by alkyl or aryl radicals. Aryl radical, by definition, means there's a ring. It means it's cyclic. So the very definition that the court relies upon and that the government relies upon recognizes that the definition applies to both acyclic as well as cyclic amides. No question about that. Penicillin, I refer you back again, that penicillin, if you read Wade, the paragraph under where they have the picture of penicillin, it does refer to it as amides. It says B-lactams it references it as an amide. So I would take you back there again. I would also like to point out that the government is taking the position that anything that doesn't meet that strict definition of an amide but has an amide functional group is a derivative of an amide. That takes this notion of the chalkboard approach to creating, the chalkboard and eraser approach to creating derivatives to a whole new level. That's not what the case Horn stands for. It's not possible, as we've shown, as our expert showed. It's not actually possible, as I mentioned earlier, to go from acrylamide to ATBS. Acrylamide actually comes from acrylonitrile, as does our product. So
okay,
the notion
Mosley,
that you...
I think we're out of time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank both counsel in case it's submitted.